Hi everyone, I'm Claire Liu and I'm the CEO of Know Your Company, and I am thrilled today to have with me Joanna Weeb, who is the founder of Copy Hackers, which, if you haven't already heard of it, is this amazing resource where they have online classes, tools. They also do consulting for if you want to improve your business and need to find a way to write better, which all of us do. She's your go-to person and her company is incredible. They also actually recently launched a product called AirStory that I just learned, which is collaboration software for writers who are on a team. And I'm just really excited to have Joanna here. We first met, I want to say, a couple years ago. We both spoke at the same conference at Business of Software and was blown away by her talk, her insights, and was, just wanting to talk to you more. So thanks for being here, Joanna.
Thank you for having me. That was like 3 years ago. I think you had just started.
Yes.
It
was super fresh for me. It was speaking at Business of Software was one of the first conferences I think I spoke at that year because it was the first year running New York Company. So it's been a journey.
So cool to see what you've done. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So I've got one question to ask you, Joanna. As you know, you've built your business over the years. What's one thing you wish you would have learned earlier as a leader?
I think one of the bigger things I wish I had learned, and this might be me coming at it from a woman's perspective, possibly, is that, there's a lot. But the biggest thing that stands out for me, which was a major insight and changed things, and it's still something I work really hard at, is realizing that this might sound silly, but that people need a leader. You want to believe that everything can be, you know, we'll all figure it out together as a team and it should be this really diplomatic thing, and it should be. But I have found that people need that person to look to act as leader. And that, again, that might seem like, well, obviously, Joanna, but no, not obvious to me. It wasn't obvious at all that people won't want to figure everything out on their own, that they'll want to have strong guidance from somebody who can then help them see what to do better. And it's so, as I say it, I know how obvious it is, but I think it felt aggressive or too assertive to lead, to say, here's the vision that I'm setting. And you want to get people on board with it, of course, but I found that I lean really far toward, are you guys okay with that? What do you guys think about that? Is that going to work for you?
Yeah.
And when I just state it and we discuss, for me, it's worked better than trying to be like a quiet leader or the shy leader.
Sure.
That's one of the bigger revelations, and it's something that I have to keep working on, right? Like, I knew that running a team would be hard because when I worked in-house, I never wanted to be like the team leader. I ended up in the team leader role a bunch of times, but something that I...
The accidental leader, yeah.
Right, exactly, right? Yeah. Like, okay, I guess I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I knew that people management was hard, but leadership isn't about people management either, which is also a weird thing for me. Like, it's that you don't have to necessarily, in my experience, you don't necessarily be an outstanding people manager to CEO something, which is different from what I learned.
Okay, I mean, there's so much I want to ask about this. Like, there's so many different parts. So talk to me about what you mean by the difference between CEOing something and being a people manager. So, like, what do you mean by that? What's the difference? And like, what are some examples maybe of things that you've done where you've been in one box and not the other?
I've been called on not being a great people manager before. Yeah. And so it's a weakness that I've identified in myself, right? Like, I mean, because people are people and they're so different. And I kind of went into leading my team thinking that the most important thing for me to do was to manage them to happiness. Okay, so great. That's where I'm supposed to be. It's all about just like, are they happy? Are they satisfied? I mean, because I get, we collect leadership ideas from everywhere, right? And I collected one from, this is going to sound really dumb, from Downton Abbey. Honestly, where
it's fine. It could have been worse. No, I think I love your honesty, Joanna. Trust me. We get these ideas of leadership. You're so right, though, from shows, from family members, from things our friends say, from quotes we read in books. Like, nothing really that scientific sometimes.
Right. We all want to, like, get full leadership from, like, the hard thing about hard things. Like, sure, absolutely. You learn a lot about leadership in that book. But then this is your job constantly, right? It never stops. So even when you're like down and watching an X-Men movie or something, you're like, that guy is a good leader. You pick that stuff up.
Yes.
But for Downton Abbey, he said, I can't remember his title, the main lord guy. Okay.
I don't watch the show. No.
Oh, so you should. Anyway, he said that the reason that Downton Abbey existed, this people are watching, like, why is she talking about this? The reason Downton Abbey existed.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
Was to be an employer, to make jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. That totally made sense to me. I'm like, yeah, because I love creating jobs. I love knowing that I have a team, small, nice, you know, 7-person team, but it's still a team with families and they're putting shoes on their kids' feet and they're like going on vacation. I love that we can create that. I've loved the people side of the business so much, but I love the business side of the business too. And for me, it's been kind of sorting out when, I know people should always, and this is, we're figuring it out as we go, right? Yeah. Like, people should really always come first. And if your team comes first, things work really well, right? Things work out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make so many hard decisions in a leadership role. Those will affect people mm-hmm. too. And I've struggled with the balance, if there is one, or the ordering of leading, being mm-hmm. the CEO, setting the vision, saying that's not working, we're going to shift that direction completely. And that means that we might have to find a new job for mm-hmm. you here, a new role for you, or we might have to exit you. Yeah. Having to do that, which doesn't feel like my people management skills are as important as we grow as those leadership skills, making those harder decisions. There's that. But I've heard so many times that leaders are, it's different. Some people say leaders are great people managers. Others say that's not the role of the leader at all, to be a people manager. And they, of course, reference Steve Jobs every time they say that. Like, he didn't. He wasn't a good people manager, but what was it? He was a good team builder. Anyway, now I'm rattling, but there's just so many ideas about, it's not a conflict between people management and leadership, but there's a lot for me to still figure out there.
I think that conflict, though, that you're talking about between genuinely wanting your employees to be happy on one end and then on the other, and again, not mutually exclusive, but wanting to do what's in the best interest of the business, sometimes, though, are at odds. Some people are going to be pissed because they have to lose their job, or because they're going to lose their job because it doesn't fit in line with the vision of the company, or expenses are too high, or whatever, right? And sometimes the decisions that you have to make, right? I mean, this is, I think, what makes it really tricky, isn't going to fall in line with wanting to be like. I interviewed Dez Trainer, who's the co-founder of Intercom. Yep. And one of the things, that he talked about was this, you know, a little bit about this tension of how, as a leader, we want to be liked. And that desire to be like is at direct odds with leading well. And so I'm curious if that's something that you can relate to, if, you know, you can kind of recall a specific moment where you were like, oh, okay. Like, did someone call you out about this? And they were like, Joanna, you're not doing, you know, or was it something that you sort of discovered on your own?
I've been called out by one leader about not being a people manager. And we had an argument about that, and I didn't believe that the role of the CEO is to, first and foremost, be a people manager.
Uh-huh.
I still don't believe that. So there was that, but for him, for Dez to say, you know, that about likability, especially when you've been working with, like, I think if you have a large team, and this is me not having a huge team, like, mm-hmm. I don't have 500 people sitting in an auditorium waiting for me to give a talk, and they're all my employees.
Sure.
When you have a small team, you know everybody. Mm-hmm. You know their families. You know what they want to do. You know where they went on vacation. You saw their pictures. You guys get together for Christmas.
Right.
Small teams, you want them to like you. And I had to let somebody go who was a really good copywriter, but we've shifted away with Copy Hackers away from services toward this product that we've been building. And you have to be willing to commit to what you think the future is.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like for me, if someone, it would be easier if I had permission to make that change. And that sounds awful. But I think, and I don't think that like disqualifies me as a leader. I think it's just like it's something I have to overcome. I have to know that it's up to me to do hard things, which will include letting that particular copywriter go. For Des, it means not being liked because you made some hard decisions. And for me, it means the exact same thing, but then having the courage to stand behind those and say, no, I really am. I'm leading this organization. This organization exists because I've created it. It gets better because of the people in it. But I have to own that I'm going to lead this. And if I want everybody to row in the same direction, I have to set that direction. And I can't say, what do you guys think about this direction? They can talk with me about it and hopefully I'll create a good environment for that. But it's not going to be this big democracy necessarily. And that's, for me, the hardest part. I cringe at the idea of fully making decisions and cascading those out. I cringe a little bit about it. I'd rather that we could all make decisions together and everybody can do everything together. But the reality is that they need a strong leader. They need somebody to say, like, here's where we're going, guys. And then they can say, okay, here's how we rally behind that. And do we think we should do it that way? And we should have those decisions at that point. But I have to set that vision. And that's a really hard part.
Right. My mind is sort of turning right now because I think what you're also describing is just how difficult it is for leaders to make decisions. And to your point of, is it a democracy? You know, do you take everyone's input in when you make a really big decision, like changing the direction of the company? To what extent do you, you know, ask for people's opinion to begin with on certain decisions? To what extent do you, you know, take those into account? And how as a leader, like, what's the metric, right? Like you were saying, like, it would be almost nice if someone could give me permission, because it's like, there's no, like, ruler, so to speak, of like, oh, if the decision's like this, then you should, you know, ask three people. But if it's this, then you should ask the entire company. If it's like this, don't ask anyone and just choose what you think. You know, it's like, that would be a nice cheat sheet, but we don't really get that. Yeah. No, I don't have that. I'll let you know when I find it. Right. I'll let you know when I find that. Because I'm still looking for it. No, but I can personally empathize in, you know, what those moments are. And I'm curious, for you, what is your ruler personally? Like, what do you listen? Like, what do you try to listen to, or how do you try to think that those moments through?
I know that I do well when I can discuss an idea with people that I trust. So my co-founder and I, you know, we work through ideas, but I don't know that we have an actual ruler. I think we're still so new. With the software company, I mean, with that side of the business, for the other side of the business, the decisions just seem to be made. They kind of just have, because it's all mine. It's 100% mine. I don't ever question anything with the copy hacker side. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to answer to anybody. But when we're talking about the product side of the business, now it's more complicated. That's where the real like leadership happens, because so many things could go wrong. And a lot of it feels like an experiment. It's a huge experiment, and you want to have all the smart minds you can involved in making sure the experiment goes as well as possible. So a ruler, I don't know what I would say it is. Do you have, what's yours?
So good question.
Your question. Well done.
Yeah. So I don't think this is foolproof by any means, but I do try to think and center on ultimately, like, how do I want to help people, and what's going to be in the best interest of the organization getting in a position to do that, right?
Yeah.
So we have a really particular point of view at Know Your Company for how we want to help CEOs and employees work better together and have a more open and honest environment. And we want to help as many people as we can, and we want to do it in a really particular way, which is, you know, with honesty, with accountability, with transparency, and in a way that's fun and sort of, and also very straightforward, like simple, like no frills. And whether it's a product decision, a pricing decision, a decision around how we treat customers, hiring decisions, decisions around not raising money, right? Like, a lot of decisions are all kind of, for me personally, centered around that. And so I do love to talk to people as much as possible about a certain decision. On the team, you know, I'm lucky to have, you know, Jason and David of Basecamp who are on our board as advisors. Mm. But I always know as well that at the end of the day, I have to feel good about the decision. I'm the one that's really going to live with it more than anyone else on the team. And so it's a hard thing to say without trying to sort of inflate the ego at all, but it's just me sort of thinking, okay, ultimately, like, what can I really be doing in the best interest of the business? And given where we want to be and how we want to help people, what call do we need to make to get there? I don't know, but it's so hard. It doesn't always fit so neatly. So
it's that moment, the moment at which you realize, like, even saying it, that it really does come down to you.
Yeah.
It does. I think so, right? And
it does.
So
it does.
That's a tense moment, right? You feel like, am I allowed to say that? Because my employees and my team, they're a huge part. Like, I can't do any of this without them.
Right.
But it comes down to me, but I need them, right? So there's like this, why do I get to make the call? But then you do get to make the call because you're the one watching payroll.
Right.
Like, right, you know how many people you can hire.
Yeah.
It's all on you. You're thinking about it constantly. But that, maybe that's just something that newer leaders running their own business deal with. I don't know if, like, the CEO of Intuit necessarily deals with the same thing, but when you're so involved, for me at least, when I'm so involved in a small business, it's all on my shoulders.
Yeah.
I want to include everybody, but then there comes that moment at which, and I've definitely struggled with this, where you just say, no, we're doing it this way.
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually said we're doing it this way, but I have several times thought, oh, I wish I would just say we're doing it this way and, like, just move on with it. But you need everybody to buy in.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. It's tense, right?
It is.
It's real work. The leadership side is real work.
It is. And Joanna, something that you mentioned, like, very, very early in the conversation that you sort of prefaced your answer with, was you said that it might be because I'm a woman that I'm feeling this way. And then you also talked a little bit about how, you know, I can't be the shy, quiet leader. So talk to me, like, to what extent do you feel like it's maybe a personality thing? To what extent, like, why did you say, you know, like, oh, it might be because, you know, I'm a woman, right? Like, tell me about, like, where you think maybe it might come from. That trepidation to sort of say, like, we're going to do it my way. It's a hard thing for me to say, too. So I can,
right? I mean, I am very conscious of how I was raised.
Yeah.
To be very polite.
Yeah.
And when you do something that feels impolite, which making a call often does, and it doesn't mean it has to, but for me, it does. And that might be because I never really learned the skills, like the actual, I didn't grow up seeing a woman make those decisions, which I hope is not offensive to the women that raised me in any way. Wonderful people, but I don't think I saw it.
Sure.
And I know that when I was working in-house, when I was still at Intuit, actually, as an example, when I was there, I got my fair share of negative feedback about being too opinionated, about making too many decisions on my own. But I didn't think that I did. I still don't think that I did. I think it was just uncomfortable for the people who didn't expect me to behave that way.
Sure.
You know, you're conscious of being assertive without being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy for people to think that that assertive woman is an aggressive woman.
Yes.
And so I struggle with that. Am
yes.
I being friendly while I'm delivering hard news?
Yes.
Right? The things that we do. And I don't want that to be my story necessarily, is like, oh, a woman leader. Not that I also don't want that, because I identify as that.
Sure.
But there's the challenge that always comes with it, leading men and women.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to even speak about, right? Because there's so much, it's just the reality of, I don't have the luxury of being raised to where everybody was saying everything you say is right. And you should make that hard call.
Right.
I didn't, so I'm learning that skill now that I'm older.
Yeah.
And it makes it difficult because I'm supposed to also keep using the softer people skills.
Right.
And so it's this negotiation process that is hard.
Yes. I think that is incredibly insightful, Joanna, and I can personally relate to so much too. I think how you're raised and the examples and the models you have set such a big tone for how you handle conflict, for how comfortable you are making decisions. I feel really lucky because my mom was incredibly assertive, almost sometimes too assertive when I was a kid, you know, and I would watch her in some interactions and I would kind of cringe and go, oh, I feel like that might have been too much, right? And she might admit that herself. And so I think for me, that's probably actually influenced me in certain ways. Yeah. And then to your point about sort of environmental factors and being in a situation where you might get feedback from, you know, other people about maybe being too assertive or coming off too strongly. I definitely got that when I was in college, and I'll never forget that. I was student body president my senior year in college, and I'll never forget there were so many other executive board members or other folks who would pull me aside, you know, all male, who would tell me, Claire, you know, you come off really strong in this meeting, or I don't know if people were receptive to this because of, you know, I think you jumped to this too quickly, or I don't, you know, it feels a little aggressive the way you're pursuing this issue. And so I remember being, I think, you know, 21, 22 at the time, thinking, you know, being a little obviously frustrated, but that obviously shaped me too. And like, to your point, created a greater consciousness of, like you were saying, just the reality of to make action thinking, oh, I'm a woman leader, so I need to do this, but to acknowledge the reality that people will see something on one side and you have to acknowledge how that's going to be received. So I can completely empathize.
Right?
It's like tough.
There are certain things that we're allowed to look in, and other things that we all know, everybody knows, this is not a surprise, but we're in a strange new world of leading businesses like this. So yeah, it's just this big negotiation process. But it's hard. A great challenge, right?
It is. Oh my gosh.
I love every second of it.
It is. And for all the people who gave me that feedback, to this day, it's so fascinating because, you know, interacting with both men and women, it's so fascinating to see people not react in those ways too.
Yeah.
You know, and to just treat you like a person and believe in you as a person and believe in your business just because they think it's a great business and to support. And, you know, it's like for every, and I feel just lucky in my career because I know that that's not always the experience people have. But for all the people who might have given that feedback, there are so many more who are, you know, just like, your way, just do it your way, whatever that way it is. So
completely right. And those are the ones I do feel that those stick out more in my head because I don't find those other negative voices creeping in necessarily, but I know that they gotta be in there,
but,
right?
Yeah.
Like, they're back there.
Of course.
But they're not the point when I'm talking about leading and the idea of stepping up and being the leader of a team with men on it, men who are older than I am.
Yep.
That's something that little Joanna is like, oh, are we allowed to do that? And then big Joanna's like, yeah, we're allowed to do that. So, but it is that, right? It's just the reality of it. Right?
It is.
It's part of being that leader. Yeah.
It is. Well, Joanna, thank you so much for your candor and for just being very real with all of us. It's honestly, it's energized me and it's just refreshing to hear. So thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the fascinating question that's going to have me thinking all day, all week. I'm sure I'll be like, oh, I should have said that.
That's how these things go. But trust me, I know so many people will benefit from your thoughts. So thank you for sharing them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.